Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world. And I guess this week we're also changing the way we look at the world with that eclipse. I don't think we're going to talk a whole lot about that eclipse today with Mo, who is my guest, but you know, you never know. I mean, it's a world phenomenon, and I know a lot of people have many stories or just experiences with it. And so if you want to talk about that, we can talk about that. And by the way, you can join me over on Facebook in our private group for 1-2 Radio. And hopefully I will be there. As you know, the last one or two shows, for some reason, I've done something that Facebook doesn't like. And so after I post something, they kick me out and say I violated community standards, which I find hilarious with my Aquarian moon. But in any case, Mo is with me today. I know many of you know Mo. He has his own radio show, Mo's Paisley Penny Arcade, here on 1-2 Radio. And he has been an advisor with Mark Hessen for, you know, I want to say, 3 decades. That may or may not be fair, but you know, he used to work for Mo when, or for Mark, when Mark had his actual store in Denver, Colorado. And so Mo has been around for a very long time, has lots of wisdom. That's how he knows all this stuff, because he's a continual student and loves to share his information. So he is a Vedic astrologer, he is a tarot master, and he knows lots and lots of stuff. So there are many topics that may come up on today's show, but I'm hoping we can touch upon, you know, possibly the nodes of the moon. Maybe we could talk about that, because that has to do with the eclipse. And also, I'd like to ask Mo about a phenomena happening this week, which is when Mars and Saturn get together on Wednesday. So, you know, I'd like to kind of, I want to say debunk some myths, because that's one of those kinds of things that traditionally astrologers just ascribe all kinds of negativity to, whereas I see it as Mars is that planet of action and Saturn is a planet of discipline. So if you can tie those two things together in a positive way, it's exactly what you need to kind of fuel your actions and get them going, but drive them along a path that you want to drive on, rather than just like, you know, spitting off the energy or spinning off the energy. So I'm kind of looking forward to it, and I think it has a message for us. So I'm going to ask Mo about that. But before we get into the show, I also want to remind you it's 12 day this Friday. That's the 12th of the month, where on 1-2 Listen, we always have special random pricing on the site, but we also have, most of the advisors also have special pricing on time-based sessions, or maybe they're offering a class or an email-based service, something like that. So that's when you're going to find some great deals on the site. So even if you don't call that day or you don't touch base that day, you can buy yourself one of those TBSs, or you can, you know, kind of put it in your account and then use it whenever you want. So remember, Friday is 12 day. So before we get Mom on the show, I would say, last week I had said something about, I'm gonna start telling you what I think the mantra of the week is, or kind of the thought for the week. Well, this week what's coming up for me, and it really is related to the Mars conjunct Saturn, and that is that I think these are the words that we need to keep in mind, or the concepts, discipline, and patience. Those are our friends. Those are our allies. Because when we can tie those things together, we can accomplish a lot. And patience doesn't mean that you have to necessarily slow down, but you have to be willing to wait and build and develop something and let it develop in its own timing and have the discipline to stick with it even when you don't see immediate results. So that's what I would say for this week, is discipline and patience. You know, take action, but you can have short-term goals, but if you want to accomplish something that's important, then let it come with its own timing. So that's what we're going to talk about. I would also remind you, because maybe if we get into the show, we may not have time to talk about this. The sun is going to be conjunct Mercury this week also on Thursday. Now, one reason that's important is because that indicates that the Mercury retrograde is half over when the Sun and Mercury meet up. When Mercury literally comes back to the position of the Sun, that's when it's half over. And it's an important moment too, because whenever the Sun and Mercury are together, we can ask Mo about this too, but it seems to me that when they're together, we're highly identified with our belief systems. And so sometimes we'll see something that we didn't see before, or maybe we'll recognize something, you know, about ourselves or about the world, or just something that we need to know. And here again, in light of the eclipse, which to me was a powerful symbol of being able to see differently. Because when that light goes out, like for instance, the big show was being able to see the corona of the Sun, or at least that was part of it. But you can't see that if the Sun is completely in its brightness. And so it's the same thing with some other things in life, is we can see differently, or we can see something that we didn't see before when we just stop and take a look, or when something's in a certain position for us, instead of automatically assuming, oh, that's negative, or that's not the way I want it. Maybe when something happens, it gives us the opportunity to look differently, to see something that we didn't see before. And the Sun conjunct Mercury can help us with that. It's going to be at 22 Aries, and that's going to happen on Thursday. Okay? All right. So let's get Mo on the show and see what he wants to talk about. Hey, welcome, Mo. Thanks for being with me today.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, CA. How are you?
I'm good. You know, hanging in there, taking it day by day.
So Facebook has banned you. Oh, my.
Well, they don't like me for some reason, and I am having a difficult time trying to figure out what it is. But I will also be honest. I'm not spending hours of time trying to figure it out.
Well, you think for yourself, and that is a terrible thing in today's society. So shame on you. Thinking for yourself.
Well, so far I posted this morning and I haven't gotten that message that I violated something. So we'll see what happens.
I did that once and I'm not sure what I did. I think I had a post removed recently. It was a picture of Mr. Moose and Bunny Rabbit that was someone had posted. You remember them from Captain Kangaroo?
You know, it doesn't automatically ring a bell, but Captain Kangaroo does.
Yes, he had two puppets that used to come on, and they would play tricks on Captain Kangaroo. Mr. Moose, who kind of talked like this, and Bunny Rabbit, who never said anything. And Bunny Rabbit, to me, looked like it had breasts. It was the strangest looking thing. I mean, it was like, why does Bunny Rabbit look like it has breasts? And it was probably just the fact that that's how the hand in the puppet was, you know? And Bunny Rabbit had glasses and would always finagle carrots out of Captain Kangaroo. So I brought attention to this fact. And it was like, why does Bunny Rabbit look like it has breasts? Did it always have breasts? I'm a bit shocked and dismayed. And, you know, so I think it was removed. So at least they didn't ban me, but well, I was being facetious, you know.
Yeah, and quite truthfully, I don't think I was banned for something I wrote. Because, I mean, all I did is like, you know, it was during the show, and I think I just said, good morning. I mean, I surely wasn't banned for saying that. So I really don't think it's something I wrote. It's got to be something else, but I don't know what, you know, and in fact, I asked somebody else, I said, is it because I don't have enough stuff on my page? Is it because I don't post on my own page? You know, there's got to be some other community standard that I'm not abiding by. But there again, in my experience, I used to use Facebook quite a lot years ago, maybe like when it first came out, but they change the rules. It feels like every time I get on, the rules are different. And so, you know, maybe they have, you know, minimum, like you have to post this many times or you have to, I don't know.
Yeah, I just posted on my page for the first time in about 5 years. And that's, they didn't say anything to me. So I don't know. Well, I mean, it's weird. You know what? Who cares? Really.
Well, and you
hello all you in the Facebook chat.
Yeah, and Alashea says my page is about to be deleted because of the same reason after 15 years.
Yeah.
And she said, considering I only post quotes from the masters, that's just weird. And see, I would agree with you, Alashea. I don't know what that's about. So, but like I said, well, oh, you know what? I just got the message. Your account is restricted for 2 days. Your account activity didn't follow our community standards, so you can't do what you want to do. Okay, guys, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, But for those of you I could see, Quelly, thank you for being here, and Marina, and Renee, I know that there were a number of people in here, and James, good morning, and thank you for coming, and I don't know if anybody has any ideas about the community standards I'm violating. You can write me at my email, you know, or through the Clickbird Advisor system, okay? All right, yeah. Well, we're going to get off Facebook because...
Facebook, Uber, all those, that's all I can say.
Yeah, something isn't right. Okay, so Mo, of the things we're talking about, what's on your mind or what would you like to talk about? And I do at some point want to talk about that Mars conjunct Saturn.
Well, let's start there.
Okay.
Start there. Yeah. And in the Vedic system, Mars and Saturn are not friendly. They're just not, because they're two antithetical kind of concepts. But I do sense that they can work together. You know, they do kind of get together. Mars is, of course, action. Do, 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 do. And dooby, dooby, do, which, of course, is Sinatra. But it's this powerful movement. But Mars is not necessarily... Do you put a lot of intellect into Mars?
No.
No. Do you put a lot of intellect into Saturn? No. No, I don't.
Yeah, I would say I put more intellect into Saturn because I see Saturn as this very master strategic planner.
Interesting. Okay. Yes.
And in a way, maybe that Mercury has a lot of ideas and connects the dots and is the communicator. But I see Saturn being more of a master, being able to see the whole plan.
Yeah, interesting. Because Saturn to me is the master constrictor. You know?
Yes. Yes, I understand.
It's amazing power of constriction and intense, it can be incredibly benevolent, or it can also be just miserly and strict, but it's an unbelievably powerful planet. Mm-hmm. So if it wants to, it can be magnificent in its powers and its energies. And so if you were talking about discipline, and I think that's a good way to think about it. If you can use that Mars energy of, because Mars is obsessive.
Yeah.
It can be obsessive. So if you can channel the obsession of Mars and put Saturn behind it, the power of Saturn behind it, then you've really got something. You've got something that you can use to incredible benefit. And yesterday's eclipse has the power to kind of reset things.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I view it anyway. It's a major reset. It's like saying, okay, it's a new operating system for your computer.
Right.
It's like, okay, this is a whole new operating system with a bunch of new upgrades, and you have to learn how to use it. You know, because there's new stuff. It really is a shame when people get a new operating system and they don't learn all the new tricks, which is me. I don't learn all the new tricks.
I was going to say, you may be talking about me because I recently got a new computer and I'm still like working through all the things. And I probably should go through all the tutorials, but I just wanted to get back to work.
Right. And then, so, you know, after you've been doing things the old way, you suddenly realize, oh, I didn't know I could do this. I didn't know I could do this. But the truth is that is kind of the power of Saturn. Saturn, especially after the eclipse, you can suddenly there are shortcuts you can use. You know, it's kind of fascinating. The power of Mars and Saturn together. And this is, you said it's going to be on Wednesday, tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's
it's going to be tomorrow afternoon.
See, and I'm thinking that energy is already with us.
Oh, you know? It is. Well, because they're already fairly close together. It's just it's going to be perfect tomorrow.
Well, perfect is a wonderful word. I like that.
Well, it's, you know, it'll be like at the same degree, the same minute tomorrow.
Right. Right.
But yeah, because of the rate that they move, they've actually already been in close contact, which, as you mentioned with the eclipse, it very much influences the overall impact of the eclipse with those two planets sitting there together.
Right. Yeah.
And it's important because Mars rules Aries, which is where the eclipse was. So, you know, we can't ignore Mars in that whole equation. Not if we want to see a more complete picture.
Right. And I think completion is always a good thing. I mean, you want to look and say, and more than that, where is your Mars?
Mm-hmm.
So you ask someone, you know, or ask, I'm asking everyone listening, where is your Mars? And I think people would neglect that sometimes, like where is, if something is being impacted, and you talk to people about this, I know you say, where is it in your chart?
Mm-hmm.
Where does it affect you? Because that's kind of the tickle point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I get a tickle sometimes. Yeah. I get a feeling about something. You know, I was not present for the, I didn't go out and gawk at it yesterday. First of all, I saw the 98%, you know, 7 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was amazed at it was an event, but at 98%, the sun still put out a remarkable amount of light with only 2% showing. So it was like, yeah, what am I going to miss? You know,
mm-hmm.
Yesterday it was, you know, there wasn't that much obscured. But more than that, I've really changed because for years I've been feeling this energy from eclipses. And it's like, it's kind of private, you know, there's a privacy factor there. And it's kind of a reset. And I like that idea of the reset.
I do too.
There's this sense of there's something going on. There's something being hidden either way. Even when there's a lunar eclipse, I remember the first time I felt that feeling. I had to take my dog out in the middle of the night, and because she had had some surgery, and I had to, you know, take her. I had to walk her there. You know, it was, and there was a lunar eclipse going on, and I just didn't like the feel of it. And we went outside, and there it was, and I looked at it, and I thought, oh my goodness, I don't like the way this feels. Mm-hmm. It was baleful, you know. Edgar Allan Poe uses that word when he's in the Telltale Heart, when he's talking about this man's eye, you know, and it's just this baleful eye, and he eventually kills the man, you know, and that's the whole story of the Telltale Heart, you know, his guilt reveals him. But I felt something very strange about that. And things happened after that. Mm-hmm. And I've felt that ever since about certain eclipses. And I think the point is that we have to go by our feelings. And Saturn in the old system ruled both Capricorn and Aquarius. So, and of course things have changed, you know, obviously they changed a long time ago, but I'm an old fashioned guy. And so it has both that juggernaut, that powerful dynamo of energy, but also the ability to spread light and love and mm-hmm. grace. And so we have to see that with Mars, I don't associate Mars with love and light and grace. I just don't. So this is about the power. And we can take advantage of that with that massive reset we had yesterday. But where do you want to put it?
Mm-hmm.
See? And I think that's what we have to decide personally. Where do you want to put that? Because if we don't put it somewhere, then what's going to happen? You see?
Mm-hmm.
It'll go somewhere. It's going to go somewhere in our lives, but the question is where? Wouldn't you rather have it directed? Because Saturn is a very directed energy. Ebenezer Scrooge was Saturn in A Christmas Carol. And in the beginning, and I think Dickens, I don't know if he was into astrology, I have no idea, but his stereotype of Scrooge is very Saturnine. He even uses the word, I think, in the story. When he's describing Scrooge, there's this kind of, you know, he's gaunt and he's thin and he's, you know, he's walking down, there's nothing wasteful about him, but he's just this stingy, miserly, because he's a penny pinch. You get this real feel for that. And that's this concept of Saturn as the constricting aspect. But then he becomes generous and giving, and he helps people, and he's the best friend. And that's the other side of Saturn. It's a wonderful thing to look at the planets this way. I love looking at characters in stories and saying, all right, which are you? And then look at the other side of that. Do you ever do that?
No, I can't say that I have.
It's fun. It's fun. So if you're trying to say, okay, yeah, you know, just which character, where would you find this person? And not necessarily is he a Leo or is he a Taurus, but which planet does this character represent? You know, for example, someone like Dracula. What is Dracula as a planet? It's kind of a fascinating
game to
play.
What do you think? What do you think for Dracula?
Someone like Dracula, and I tend to stick to the, you might look at Dracula as, if you're going to go to the new planets, maybe Pluto, right? Death. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But you might also go to, if you're going to look at the old ones, Venus, because he's extremely attractive. He's extremely sensual, and people are very attracted to him when he's young. When he's older, he's not so attractive, you know. when he's, you know, kind of gnarly, and he's got hair on the palm of his hands and stuff. But there's an attraction to him. He's able to seduce very, very easily. So you look at someone like Ahab in Moby Dick, and definitely there's something there. There's vengeance and misery and single-mindedness. He's Mars, I think. And there's this huge scar across from the top of his head down his face that disappears into his shirt, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you say, well, what's that? Yeah, I see Mars there. And the fact that he is his own leader, you know, his own, there's some Virgo there too, you know, but we're not getting into that. And there's Mercury, perhaps, I don't know. I love to do that and just think about the planetary aspect that must be driving these creatures, because they're much more than a sign. There's a planetary drive there, you know.
So. Now, how about you? If I ask you, what planet would you think most describes you, what would you say?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'm much too critical upon myself. And I don't, you know, what I present is not necessarily who I am, if you know what I mean.
Right, that's why I'm asking, what do you resonate to? What do you feel?
Mercury, I think.
Mm-hmm. That popped into my head. I was thinking that. You know, the gathering of information, connecting the dots, insatiable for learning.
Yeah, and I flip back and forth a lot, you know. My wife, in a fit of irritation, accused me of being having some sort of the attention disorders.
Right? Yeah. <You know?
laughs> So,
well, there's so many things to learn. There's so many things to know, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was in my mid 60s, I wanted to take something up and I said, why should I do that? I mean, my life is limited. I am mortal. And then I just thought, what am I doing? There is no limit to what someone can learn in a lifetime. And so I just took it on, you know? And that's my attitude, is when I stop learning, it will be because I'm dead.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So mm-hmm. I would say that's probably me. And it's always been me.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. I mean, I view my mind as different levels of, like, I don't know how to put it, like a city, an erector set of just a scaffolding, and there are these different levels of thought. For example, one level is psychedelic. I shouldn't say these things out loud, they'll put me in a room. But and it's very colorful and very wild in there, and it's always going on, and it's always this very bright, and that's where I created my psychedelic deck, you know. Which is really nice. I like it. Other people, I'm probably, that's why I haven't published it, because it's kind of, it's like, what? But
So that
I
isn't one that people can get on Amazon or on one of the sites.
not yet. I may
Okay.
someday. I printed up two copies, one for me and another spare one, I guess. But someday I may make it available. It's very strange, but it's bright and I think wonderful. I like it. But it reflects what I see on that level, if I can put it that way. And I was able to actually do it. I was able to actually bring it to fruition. There are different things. I mean, I'm not able to capture everything. I had an idea. My son-in-law is a tattoo artist and probably one of the most incredible artists I've ever seen in my life. He could be a gazillionaire, but he just wants to do tattoos. He's just such an amazing artist, and that's his medium. And but he has agreed to, if I throw him some concepts, to work with me. Maybe we'll do a deck together if
Oh, that
I,
sounds great.
yeah.
Well, and
And
no, go ahead and then
no,
I'll
you
say
go
something.
ahead.
Well, I
You
was
go.
just going to say, and thinking back to Saturn, like everything that you've said, I would totally agree that it is restriction, it is constricting. But your son-in-law is exactly, in a sense, what we're talking about. You've got this massive talent, this great talent, but you choose to restrict it to a particular type or medium because that's your love, because that's what you want to do. And so often, I feel like we do dissipate our energies because we're not willing to just say, you know what? We don't have unlimited time to do everything. So if I really love being a tattoo artist, it doesn't matter if I'd be a great oil painter. I want to do tattoos. I want
That's
to
it.
take all that talent and I want to channel it into this. And so often I think we then regret those decisions, not because they're bad, but because we go, oh, did I miss out? Did I miss out? But Saturn allows us to say, hey, just choose prioritize what is the most important to you and then love it, embrace it, go that direction. You don't have to keep dancing back and forth and go a little of this and a little of that.
Well, it's yeah, I yeah, he's chosen his direction, and he is, it's funny. There is that, it's lucrative, I'll say that, but he doesn't live opulently. There is this sense when he's very well known, in his field, and he's booked way out in advance. And the stuff he does is, I've never seen anything quite like it. It's remarkable, but I should get some ideas together, I just had an idea, but I don't tend to speak of ideas until I've kind of got them more solidified, because then they dissipate, they become obsessive. That's the Mars side too, and the Mercury side. Mercury flits back and forth. Mercury and Mars are not don't get along very well. And traditionally in the astrology that I work with, and the reason for that is that it's annoying to Mars, all those little ideas, It's like, just do it, just do it. So Mars and Saturn. Saturn needs, Saturn is about stability, don't you think?
Absolutely. Steady, determined, dig your heels in, be patient, decide on a plan, and then execute it. Now, and also, I want you to think, what about Mars and Saturn in Pisces? Now, I think, are they in the Vedic system in Pisces as well? I mean, they've got to be darn close, because I think,
Right now they're at a
no, actually,
they're
that's not true. They're probably
no.
still in Aquarius. Yeah.
They're still they're in Aquarius at about 20 degrees. So it's in Saturn's house, you see, in the Vedic system. They're in the realm of Saturn, but they're in the mindy, the mental sort of part of Saturn. I would say not the benevolent, but in the lighter side of Saturn's realm. It's not in Capricorn, which is the pocket-a-pocket-a machine side of Saturn, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's in a place where it can do some real positive things, I would think. Things are not tremendous in the world right now, if you stop and look at it.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of problems in the world. We human beings have gummed things up. I mean, look at the oceans. Look at the amount of plastics in the oceans. That's a problem. We've made some big mistakes, and it's taken us a long time to realize what we've done. And now we're like, oops, okay, that's pretty bad, you know. And it's, how do we get all these plastics out of the oceans? Well, luckily, the generations that are coming up, these youngsters, have a pretty good idea of how important it is to clean up the oceans, and they're working on solutions. And I have no doubt that they'll come up with some.
Mm-hmm. That almost sounds like Saturn in Pisces to me.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, working on the oceans. That's Saturn and Mars in Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
Putting
working
a plan
on the
in
oceans,
action.
Working on the water issues.
Right. And you see, and that's the thing, is that Mars is the enactor.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, usually when I see Jupiter and Mars together, Mars is kind of the general. Jupiter is the ruler. So Jupiter says, you know, Mars, go out and do this, shall you? And Mars goes out and does it, you know. And that's what gets taken care of. So with Saturn, however, Saturn has the ability to be a tyrant, terrible tyrant, or to be a benevolent teacher, one or the other. Well, it can be a lot more than that, of course. But when we remember the myths about the Saturn age, the golden age of Saturn, that's a really important myth that many people don't pay attention to. The fact that Saturn was responsible for the golden age on Earth, you know, and we learned about farming and agriculture. I oftentimes will think about Saturn with the story of Osiris, when Osiris taught human beings how to farm and how to irrigate and how to animal husbandry and all of that, and with the golden age in Rome. I mean, there's so much about Saturn that people don't really sit down. And why is Saturn's symbol the scythe? I mean, that old guy with the scythe, that's Saturn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Saturnalia was turned into the festival of Pomona, but the Saturnalia was a good festival. It was a festival of the harvest. And I mean, there's so many good things about Saturn. It was the edge of the cosmos. The one we remember is when he was eating his children. That's, you know, so he had a little hunger.
Right.
You know, big deal.
Well, that's it. I think Saturn gets maligned. Unnecessarily. I think embracing Saturn is a really positive thing. And like I said, when I was looking at this Mars-Saturn conjunction, I felt like I don't want to always be the Pollyanna, but it's hard to find anything in traditional astrology that says anything but, you know, bad things.
Oh, yeah.
About those two coming together. And I go, no, that's just, I mean, I just don't believe that's true. I do believe that there's a lot to be said for discipline, even though we don't like it. I mean, that's it. We don't like to be disciplined. But when we do it, something pays off for us.
Well, sometimes we have to embrace our limitations.
Yes,
you know?
That's true, too.
Because there are people who don't acknowledge them. They don't believe in their limitations. I think limitations can be real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there are those people who say, I have no limitations. There, I can do anything I want to, anything I believe. And it's like, no, you can't. You know, I've known people who said, anything I believe I can do, I can do. And it's like, that's not how it works. There
Not
are
quite,
limitations. You can't flap your arms on the roof and fly, you know? And that's where, I mean, you know, not to be indelicate, but I had a friend back in, way back in the early 70s who was on a unnamed drug, who was on the roof of a house and believed that if he flapped his wings, he could fly off the roof. He did not fly. He fell, you know, and broke his heel. Luckily, that's all he did. He could have
died.
Yeah,
that is lucky. That's all he did.
Yeah, he broke his heel. And, you know, and now he's much older now, of course. And he's a stalwart member of the community. And I'm thinking, yeah, you were eating acid, buddy. Well, I did name it, didn't I?
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. <You know? laughs> But, oh, those were days. Trust me, those were days. But it was a remarkable thing that there were these inhibitions. And that's the thing. The rings of Saturn are so, in ways, kind of symbolic of real limitations that we must pay attention to. We can shed them little by little if we use logic and if we use common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for example, if I were to say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to run a mile in 4 minutes. Well, I would be dead within three, you know? It would just be over. It would be the end of it. But if I wanted to work up to it, it would something I would never be able to do because I've never been able to run that way. But I could work up to something that would be approximate to it, maybe.
Right. Right.
You know. But do you see what I'm getting at?
I absolutely do. I mean,
and like that's where Mars can come in very handy. Because you have to have stamina and you have to have the obsessive nature to put it in the right place. But if Mars and Saturn come together properly, then we can work obsessively toward the right limitations.
Exactly. You know? I agree, towards the goals. And, you know, I have a very long history working with spinal cord injury and traumatic brain injury. Right. And one of the valuable things I learned that I think just translates to life in general is the idea of looking at your limitations and then making accommodations for them.
Right.
I mean, in fact, you know, disability, I mean, in the world that I worked in rehab, disability was defined as at the person level. Like, for instance, my leg doesn't move this direction. I have a disability. But disability only translates into handicap when you can't do something about it.
Right.
So, for instance, if your legs don't work, but you're in a wheelchair, then you're not necessarily handicapped. If you can have an accommodation that you know, does the same thing as the leg, so to speak. Now, I don't want to get into all the specifics, but even on a simple level, like think about it, we all use accommodations. I don't know about you, but I couldn't exist without a calendar.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, I'm not going to remember all my appointments. I'm not going to remember those. I don't have the memory that can do that. But I've got either a piece of paper, you know, I've got a calendar on my computer that is going to remind me. So I use the accommodation to remember those things that are important to me. And I think sometimes we get all caught up in what we think we can and cannot do. Well, if there's something that you feel like is a deficit, or if it's something that you're not good at, then figure out an accommodation so that you're not quote unquote handicapped in that area.
Right.
You know, that's all you need to do. And the truth is we do it all the time. We just don't think of it that way.
Right. Right. Well, here's an interesting thing, too. I had a memory where I never had to use a calendar, a contact list. I had phone numbers. I could remember every phone number. I could remember everyone's birthday and never, ever had to use any list or anything else. Right.
Uh-huh.
With the advent of computers, that's all gone.
You know? Yes. Yes,
so,
and it use it or lose it, or
that's it's you no longer rely upon it. And I literally said to myself, why do I have to use it? Why am I doing this to my brain? But it was a natural thing I had since I was a kid. Once I heard someone's birthday, I knew it forever. I still remember my siblings' birthdays, my parents' anniversary, it's like that's still there. It's in the hardwire. But it was an amazing ability. And yet, when you realize that you no longer need these things, it's just kind of gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's something about that too. Once the obsession is no longer there,
then there's the motivation. Yeah.
I have a grandson. He's very young, and he can remember everyone's car and those license plates.
Mm-hmm.
So once he sees a car, he remembers the license plate, and he remembers the license plates of cars on the road. And he'll know if he saw that car before.
Yeah.
Now, that's weird. You know?
But see, you know what? You're hitting upon a really important thing. In fact, I'm dealing right now with somebody who does have a brain injury, and has kind of adapted to this idea when she doesn't want to do something or doesn't want to be held responsible, she says, I don't remember. But she seems to remember everything that's pertinent to her.
Right.
And so she doesn't remember where the dishes get put away in the kitchen, but she has no problem coming out and getting food and finding the plates and silverware and all that. And I mean, it's a perfect example of you remember what's important to you.
It's
Mars. It's motivation.
Right.
It's motivation.
There you go. Good way to put it. I get accused of that all the time, right here in my house. Right.
Well, we all do, Mo, don't we?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess. I mean, I get accused of having selective hearing. You know,
mm-hmm.
Me and the dog, we get accused of having selective hearing. You know, and it's funny. That's interesting.
But see, you know, if you think about it, we do. I mean, and even like at the dog level or at the person level, you know, it's how we've learned to survive by paying attention to what's important, to the danger signals in the environment. So the dog's going to pay attention. I mean, my dog does the same thing. If I want him to do something and he doesn't want to do it, he just looks the other way.
Right.
Now, if there's food involved, you know, it's another story.
Me too, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just so funny how he's just kind of like, nah, I don't think so. And then all I have to do is get a little treat, and all of a sudden he's right there. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And, you know, but otherwise he's got like total memory loss. You know, I don't remember. I don't know where I put it, or I didn't remember that you told me not to rip that apart.
Well, with me, you see, the Mercury part, there's Mars there too. It has to be involved somehow,
mm-hmm.
because there is this aspect of following the train of thought. And when you get on the right line, it's leading you somewhere, and you don't want to be knocked off that line.
Right.
And it's an important thing. And so when someone just thinks, oh, you know, I need you right now. I need your attention right now. And it's like, it's taken me a long time to get to this place. You have to wait, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that can cause problems. So cause problems.
Yes.
But it's interesting because that's how do you put these rings of silence around you? How do you close yourself off? Well, Mars, you see, and that's one thing that I've learned to do is not allow the Mars to come around and say, leave me alone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Do you think that Mars and Saturn together can cause abrupt anger issues?
Yes, I do. Because, and of course, because Mars itself can just be like, you know, there again, just marching through, you know, Mars can be that very disruptive. But if you combine that with Saturn, that is feeling, this is what I'd say, feeling like it doesn't have a plan, feeling like it doesn't have a goal, feeling like it, getting into the side of being all restricted, but not for a purpose, then you get this explosive, you know, poor me, how did this happen to me? And this isn't working. And yeah, just I need to break out of this. It's too tight. It's too restrictive. But that's why, I mean, and what I always say about Saturn too is it's all about purpose.
Right.
Have a purpose. You know, it's like I can wait for something to happen. Like, you know, I kind of use basil plants sometimes as an example. If you plant a basil seed, it takes, I think, 21 days to even see the first leaves.
Right.
It's so hard because you're like waiting and so many other seeds will just pop up right away, but not basil. Uh-huh. And so, but I know what basil tastes like and it's worth the wait. And so, you know, it's sort of like when we have a purpose, when we know why we're using the discipline and the restriction, why we're putting sun here or putting this much water here or why we're not eating that, you know, whatever it is, when we have a purpose, then all those restrictions or the discipline just becomes part of the pattern and we can actually embrace it. But you take Mars and Saturn without a purpose, without a goal, or, you know, then you've got the ballistic, you know, that ballistic energy coming out.
Well, I also never forget that Saturn can be incredibly possessive, you know, and there is that part of it as well. I mean, Saturn's rings are, moons, moons that it ground up. Moons that it ground
I'm sorry,
up
that into, sounds kind of funny though.
Ground up into dust and particles and because of its massive mass. I like that. And that it kept within its orbit and turned it into these beautiful rings, the ornaments. It ground up other bodies and used it as ornaments to shine in the cosmos.
That's cool. I mean,
And there's something really gruesome about that, but it is also incredibly beautiful.
Mm-hmm. This is mine. This is mine.
Yeah, look at what I've done. Look at my beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jupiter, on the other hand, more massive, but didn't do that. It has, 31 moons or some such thing?
Something, yeah.
Yeah. And it just, all it has is the largest storm in the solar system, you know, which is fascinating, really fascinating.
Well, see, so here you go ahead.
Go ahead. No,
well, I was
you
just
go.
Gonna say, and there again, Jupiter and Saturn, when you can get the two of those working together, you also have an incredible phenomena because Jupiter has all that mass, it has all that power, but it needs to be directed towards something purposeful.
Yeah. Well, Jupiter was the great philanderer.
Yes.
And took what he wanted.
He was.
Jupiter was a little less of the, he was a little more of a statesman than Zeus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Zeus was just, I like that. I'm going to take it and destroy it and have kids with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was just, impulse. That's really what he was. He was impulse. And what he wanted, he took. And there is that, we have that impulse. It's the id, you know. I've always thought of Zeus as partially being the id, but he could be a good guy too. Mm-hmm. And so it's like there's that Zeus, what I call the Zeus excuse, you know. Zeus made me do it.
That's good. I like that. The Zeus excuse.
Yeah. Except that we don't have the excuse of being the most powerful thing in the universe. You know, we don't get away with it. Yeah. Did you see Etna blowing smoke rings?
No.
Oh, wow. You really should. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Yesterday, Etna, Mount Etna, was blowing perfect smoke rings into the air. And that was, I've never seen anything quite like it.
Have fun.
Yeah, I used to blow smoke rings. It was one of my favorite pastimes with pipe smoke, you know. And I could blow smoke, I'd play chess. I used to play chess with a genius. He was a you know, just a master. At the age of 14, maybe he was 15 at the time, he won the International Science Fair by defining the universe as a finite number. And he was just he would always beat me to pieces in chess. And one day I blew a perfect smoke ring over his king and he resigned because he thought he had lost. And I thought, I like this, you know, so, but anyway, you ought to check it out. It probably see it on the YouTube.
Yeah, I can probably check it out.
Yeah.
All right. We've got, well, thank you for bringing that to my attention. That's something worth checking out. And we've got 2 minutes to close the show. So do you have anything that you'd like to announce or anything you'd like to say? You're going to be around for 12 days?
No, I'm just basically useless. I'm a useless.
No, that's not true.
On mankind. But,
yeah, I know you've got a lot of other things on your plate and dealing with some things. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that excuse.
Well, Zeus's excuse? No, it's true. We all have things, you know, going on, and you do too. So any
I'll be on the air tomorrow talking about I made some. I did the I Ching about this eclipse, and I'm going to reveal what the I Ching said about it tomorrow.
Great. Thank you for that. I love that. Thanks for reminding us. And what time is your show?
It's on at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard. No, Pacific Mountain Daylight. Pacific Daylight Wait, Time.
Pacific Time. Okay, 3 o'clock Pacific Time tomorrow.
Yeah,
that is my show. I want to hear that about the I Ching. Okay, thank you, Mo.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for being on the show. And as we close today, I would remind you, you know, that eclipse, even though it was yesterday, that energy is just vibrating throughout the universe in terms of that new moon and, you know, what it's got to show us. And I want to leave you with a quote that actually I used in the Power Peak this week. And please, please subscribe to the Power Peak if you don't already. You know, Mo writes an article, I write an article, and a number of other people. It's great information. And you can just like have it on your phone. And just even when you've got 5 minutes, you can go check it out. But this is the quote from Joseph Campbell. And it just reminded me of the Aries energy, which is Aries is not a loner, but he does like to be in front. He likes to, you know, he doesn't want to be the follower. So I see him almost as this little kid who goes, follow me, boys, you know, he's out there doing something. So Joseph Campbell said, if you can see your path laid out in front of you step by step, you know it's not your path. Your own path you make with every step you take. That's why it's your path. If the path before you is clear, you're probably on somebody else's. And I just really love that because I think that's how Aries thinks. They're going to charge forward. They're going to be the adventurer, and they are going to make their own way. So with all of this Aries energy in the cosmos right now, we have lots of planets sitting there. We're still under the influence of that new moon energy. You know, what is your path? Don't be afraid to just strike out in your own direction. Doesn't mean you have to be alone. Doesn't mean you're not doing it with somebody else. But that you've got the guts, you've got that Mars obsessiveness that Mo was talking about to just go do it. So, you know, go do it, boldly go where no one has gone before. So thanks for joining me today. And thanks to all the listeners and everybody in the chat room. Sorry, I couldn't participate as much as I would have liked to. And thanks to our producer, Jay Barbell. Please stay tuned because up next is Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. And I am going to be Kelly's guest because we're doing Meeting of the Minds today. So this is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with my guest, Mo Abdelbaki on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world. Come find me Friday on 1-2 Listen or schedule an appointment at a time that's good for you. Bye. Talk to y'all soon.